following the footsteps of Jesus. It comes from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Hear now these words. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing at all that time and became very hungry. Then the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become a loaf of bread." But Jesus told him, "No. The scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone." Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. "I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them," the devil said, "because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I'll give it all to you if you will worship me." Jesus replied, "The scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you will not even hurt your foot on a stone." Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God." And when the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this morning, after having sermons about Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary and Joseph and Simeon and shepherds and wise men and John the Baptist, we take a dark turn and now I got a sermon about the tempter. And I know somebody's thinking, he's going to try to scare the devil out of me this morning. Well, I would if I could. If I could scare somebody enough to get away from the devil and run to Jesus, I would. But I don't really think that works in the long term. Now, a lot of folks in our society fall in two categories that are very bad when it comes to the devil. One group of folks will say, "Devil, there is no devil. He doesn't exist. That's just something that's got made up. That's a boogeyman that scares you at nighttime." And I think, well, the devil likes folks like you, because that's like swimming out in the ocean at night and not knowing, thinking there's not a shark exists. Or going out in the swamps and swimming and saying, "I don't believe in alligators." You may say, "I don't believe in the devil." But just because you say, "I don't believe in him," doesn't mean he doesn't exist. You can deny that reality, but he's still there. And then, on the other hand, some folks go to their extreme of, they believe in the devil. In fact, they unknowingly or unknowingly try to make contact with him or one of his little buddies. And, for example, I'm sure you remember how the Apostle Paul, around those early Christians, warned them to stay out of the pagan temples and their festivals. And he said, when you go there, you're dining at a table of demons. In other words, there are demonic forces in this world. If you want to find them, they're down in that temple that you used to worship in. You need to stay away from that. And I think about some folks today, how they play around with the devil and his buddies, and sometimes with good intentions, because they don't know better. For example, you may have someone who's lost a loved one and they're in grief and they're mourning and they don't have that sense of closure, and maybe they had some harsh words for them, but that person died and they want to tell them they're sorry. And so they think, well, I'll give some of my friends and we'll light some candles and we'll have a little seance and we'll try to talk to them. But the danger of that, though, is when you play around with that, you can invite some very demonic and evil one into your presence. Or someone else may say, well, no, my friends and I, we got together and we're going to play board games, and my friend, her mom had this Ouija board in the closet, so we're going to play around with that. You don't need to be doing that either. You know, and like I told a friend of mine one time, I said, he had one, I said, you know that thing doesn't come with car ID. I said, how do you know who's on the other side trying to talk to you? I said, you're asking for trouble. I think that's why the Lord told us that when it comes to our loved ones, we are to, when they die in the Lord, we know they're in God's presence and we're not to worry about them. And we're supposed to be thankful for their memories and mourn the loss that we have, but also give them thanks that we knew them. But we are not to go out and make contact with them. Because when you attempt that, you're opening yourself up to some evil forces. And so here we have Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit from his baptism. He leaves the Jordan River, and he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And he's there for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, you may recall when Jesus was a small child, he was taken to Egypt as a child, as a refugee there, and then he left. And I said he was reenacting, if you will, the people of Israel, how they went into Egypt and then came back. And then last Sunday, I talked about how he went to the Jordan River and how that kind of symbolizes how the people of Israel had to cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. Well, I'm sure you remember from the Exodus or maybe the Charlton Heston movie about how when God's people sinned against them, they end up being stuck in the wilderness for 40 years, entire generation. And so Jesus is somewhat reenacting this. He's going to the wilderness for 40 days, praying and fasting. So before he begins his ministry, he wants to be with the Father alone, praying and fasting. Oh, he's doing that trying to get with the Lord. But guess who shows up? The devil. And it's not an accident that the devil came towards the end of this 40 days and 40 nights. You will find in your own lives that when you're at your weakest, that's when the devil shows up to catch you at the moment of weakness. And I've heard an acronym that I think is useful called HALT, H-A-L-T. It means hungry, angry, lonely, tired. And the author said, no, if you get 1, 2, 3, especially 4 of those, you need to be on alert because you will attract the devil and he will tempt you to do things you ought not be doing. And so the devil comes to him and says, if, the word is if you are the son of God, tell this stone to come a loaf of bread. So, I mean, it's almost like high school, isn't it, really? It's like a dare. You know? If you're a tough guy, Jesus, I mean, if you really are the son of God, tell this piece of stone to turn to bread. Now, I talked about a few weeks ago about how, and there's some early stories and legends about Jesus, you know, as a child doing these miracles and crazy stuff. And I said, none of that's true. Just legends came up years later. And here's how I know this is that Jesus did not use his powers to do a bunch of little magic tricks. Now, every farmer knows you cannot get bread from stones. How many farmers have you known had to go through the field and plow it and take the rocks out of the field, right? Rocks and farming do not go together. So Jesus did not fall for this. Now, later on, when he starts his ministry, you may recall that he was at the wedding. The wedding ran out of wine. Mother Mary comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, do something about this. You know? And that's when he does the miracle of turning water into wine. But you think about it, though, God does that every year. The rains come down from heaven, the land of vineyards, upon the grape plants. They grow the grapes. The farmer takes the grapes, crushes them, gets the juice out, the juice ferments, and there's your wine. You can go from water to wine. Our Heavenly Father does that every year. But you cannot go from a piece of stone to a piece of bread. Now, you might bake some bread that feels like a stone, because you've even put some of the ingredients in, but you cannot get a stone from bread. Yeah. And so, what does Jesus do? Does he have a little discussion with Satan and say, well, let's talk about this? No. Jesus quotes in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 3, and says, no, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone. In other words, saying, we're not going to have a discussion about this. I'm not using my powers to do a cheap magic trick for you, of all people, to prove to you that I'm the son of God. I think I know who I am, so you just hush. Well, the devil doesn't give up, so he tries another round. And then the devil took him and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. So I imagine it's more like a vision where the devil did his magic and Jesus could see the empire of Rome and all its glory and the Colosseums and maybe Athens, Greece with its architects, maybe Egypt with its pyramids, maybe the Persian Empire and all its glory. And Satan says, I'll give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them, because they are mine to give anyone I please. I'll give it all to you if you worship me. Now, that's kind of interesting, because was Satan telling the truth on that? Or is he telling a partial truth? And I've kind of wrestled with this myself. Because on one hand, I do believe that the Lord sets kings upon the throne and removes them. And yet, in the same book, we read that Daniel talks about how different kingdoms had these different demonic spirits in charge of them. And so I think there was a real temptation there of doing a little shortcut. How would Jesus spread the kingdom of God on heaven? And I think if he had took Satan up on this offer, Satan would have made Jesus into a great Middle Eastern religious leader and warrior. Now, you know from history, right, we had one of those come in about 500 years later, you know, the prophet Muhammad. But Jesus thought, no, this isn't how that works. The kingdom of heaven is not be brought about by the sword going around killing people. It's brought about by the preaching of the God's good news of the gospel. But here's a price to it. I'll give this all to you if you will worship me. Now, how many times in our lives have we been tempted to do something wrong because the end result will be something good? You've heard the saying, does the ends justify the means, right? Hey, Jesus, I'll make you king of this whole world. You can spread God's kingdom. All you got to do is worship me. But Jesus wasn't fooled by that. And once again, he quotes from Deuteronomy, chapter 6 and chapter 10. Jesus replied, the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. In other words, saying, I can't serve you and the Heavenly Father. A man cannot serve two masters, for he'll love one and hate the other, Jesus will say later. So that doesn't work. So the devil thinks, well, I'll try one more time here. And so the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple. And we know from Josephus how this was kind of like a tourist attraction in the temple, because folks would come there and look down, and Josephus said they would get dizzy and had to back up. It'd be like in our culture, you're going down to the Empire State Building, and you're looking down, or that needle up in Seattle, and you're looking down, you know, there's something about how folks like to be way up high and looking down, because it's fun, but it's also kind of scary. You know, and I think it was in Gatlinburg, you got that little glass bridge across the street there, and you walk across, and one year some genius broke it and cracked it, you know, and I thought, this is why I don't do that stuff, because I'm always afraid it's going to break or crack when I do it. And then Satan says, If you're the son of God, jump off. Why? And then Satan does some. He quotes some scriptures. For the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up in their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on the stone. Now, where have we heard that before, I wonder? You guys just heard it. Because I read the part about the angels, and Herb led you in the part about your foot against the stone. That is from Psalms 91. Think about that. The devil is so slick, he quoted scripture to Jesus as a justification for jumping off the temple. He said, if you're the son of God, you jump off. Because after all, the scriptures say, God will send his angels to protect you and guard you, lest your foot should slide against the stone. And what did Jesus say about that? Jesus responded, The scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God. In other words, like Satan, you're taking scripture and you're twisting it out of its original context, okay? And you got to be careful. A lot of folks today will go on the internet and see a meme or hear something and say, here's a Bible verse, and they'll get themselves in all sorts of wickedness. But the question is, did you read the entire context? Or do you allow the devil to pull a fast one on you? And so, for example, here in southeastern Tennessee and Kentucky, some other places, we have some folks kind of do that. And I hope that never happens here, because I won't hang around. That happens. But let's suppose we come to church one Sunday and Herb's got a big old box. And I say, Herb, what's in that box up here, you know? And Herb said, oh, look here, I got something for church Thursday. And he pulls out a big old rattlesnake. He says, after all, the scriptures say that you can handle the snakes and will not get bitten. And I'll say, one, that scripture was in the original text. And two, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God with him to the test. I'm like, we're not handling snakes, you know. In other words, we're not going to put ourselves into a position where we're going to play chicken with the Lord. Like, Lord, I'm putting myself in harm's way, and you come and rescue me. He's not going to do that. He'll let you suffer the consequence of that nonsense. As Christians, we don't take advantage of God's goodness and mercy by doing a bunch of little shenanigans and such. And I'm afraid a lot of folks in the past few years have done that in different ways with their finances and their health. And their attitude is, well, the Lord will take care of me. Well, yes, he will. But you should not use his loving, goodness, and kindness as an excuse to go around and doing stupid stuff. Okay? Do not test the Lord your God. In other words, don't act like you can do something stupid and force God to come to your rescue. Okay? He's not your butler to come to your rescue. He is your Lord. And then it said, when the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. In other words, three strikes and he was out. But he'd be back. And I'm kind of curious how often Jesus and the devil have more showdowns. And I'm sure you remember on the night of the Last Supper when Jesus is very sorrowful, told his disciples, in a little while, all of you will leave me and I'll be by myself. And Simon Peter jumped up and said, now, Lord, this bunch may leave you, but you can depend on me. I'm Peter the Rock. I'll be with you. Even to the jail and death, I'm with you. And what did Jesus say? Simon, Simon. You know it's bad when Jesus calls you by first name twice in a row. Simon, Simon. Satan has been asking for you. And I've been praying for you. And what Jesus is trying to tell Simon Peter was, Peter, me and Satan had a little conversation about you. And Satan would want to rattle your cage. And I gave him permission to do so. But I'm doing this, though, so that after you have denied me three times and run away with tears in your eyes, I will come alive and visit you one-on-one. And then you go, and instead of bad-mouthing your brothers, you build them up, you encourage them. And so I suspect Jesus has several showdowns with the devils. So my question is, if the devil came around, what's your game plan? What would you do? When the devil tells you to do something, tempts you to do something, what would you do? Notice that Jesus, he always went back to the scriptures and said, the scriptures say this in the story. No, don't get into a discussion with the devil. Remember Adam and Eve? The snake talks to Eve and says, now Eve, now did God really say that you couldn't eat of this fruit and such? And Eve should have said, I'm sorry, but my husband doesn't like it when I talk to strange snakes in the garden, right? But what did she do? She kind of took a conversation with them. You don't need to have a conversation with the devil. Like, no, we're not doing that. And it can be all sorts of things. It could be cheating on a math test, cheating on your taxes, cheating on your spouse. It could be lying, stealing something, all sorts of things. You might have a car for sale, and So Mike comes by and says, tell me about this car. And you think, well, I need to tell him the brakes are going bad. And the devil's like, nah, don't tell him about that. But what would Jesus do? Well, Jesus is all about telling the truth. He'd say, well, you know, just so you know, this guy's going to need some new brakes, okay? So if you buy this, he's a good car, but you need to do this. You know, what would Jesus do? And then some folks, I feel, give the devil way too much credit. But what did James tell us about the devil? He says, resist the devil and he shall flee. Now, we know what resisting is. So, resisting means that you put up a fight and don't go along with it. Okay? Now, for example, we'll pick on Clinton. He's driving. He gets pulled over by the Inglewood cops. And they said, we got to take you in. Say, about, sir, we'll handcuff you. And he starts fighting with them. He's resisting arrest, right? Now, if you resist arrest with the police, what do? They haul you down to the jailhouse. Guess what happens when you resist the devil? He takes off running. He flees. So we can't use the excuse like old Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. He gave you the ideal, and you went along with the ride with it, okay? Now, how we fight temptation? We fight by resisting it. One thing. When it comes along, we build up a fight. Resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. James also says, resist the devil, he shall flee from you. Draw near to God. And what does God do? And God will draw near to you. If you're not reading your Bible, you're not praying, you're asking for trouble. How can you quote the scripture to the devil if you don't know what the scripture says to begin with? Okay? If you don't know the Ten Commandments, you're hurting already. Somebody says, no, let's do this. It's kind of shady. Well, what does my Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not steal. Well, thou shalt not steal. That's pretty simple, I think. No, let's not do that. There's no gray to that. That's just black and white. You know? And then think about prayers. Now, we said the Lord's Prayer a little while ago. And what did it say? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In other words, Lord, help me to not put myself in a position where I will be tempted, right? Okay. This is a problem for my high school folks, but it also applies for my old folks as well, right? You know? I don't know why everybody got drunk. Well, they went to a cake party. That tells you one thing, right? What do you expect to happen? You know? I remember at a ball game. It was a big men game, actually, at Central, and these kids went outside. We told them, don't go outside. They did, and then one of them got beat up. And then afterwards, he was talking about it, and I said, the moral of this story is, when you pay $6 to watch a basketball game, you should go into the gym and watch the basketball game. You don't go outside with Central's greatest hits and then get surprised got beat up, right? You were asking for it. You went into temptation. Lord, deliver us, lead us not into temptation. Lord, keep me from being in places where I'll be tempted to do the wrong thing. That's 95% of the battle, not being in the wrong place at the wrong time, isn't it? No. And then deliver us from evil. Lord, keep the devil away from me. And we sung some songs. No. Father along was say, tempted and tried, right? No, the idea is off the bat, no, we won't face temptations, we won't be tried. Lord, help me to keep on the path, Father along. Sweet hour of prayer. And oft escape the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. No, it's hard to be sinning when you're praying about stuff, isn't it? When Satan starts messing your head, that's a good time to start praying. Because if you're talking to your Heavenly Father, he's going, how the heart of Satan get the word in edgewise. The closing hymn, Stand By Me. When the forces of hell assail and my strength begins to fail, thou who never lost a battle, stand by me, right? So let's not be naive and think that we can say the devil made me do it. No. The devil didn't make you do it. He gave you an ideal and you went along with the ride. You got snookered. So instead, you need to be like Jesus. You need to be praying, talking to your Heavenly Father, and you need to know your scriptures. And so when the devil is messing your head, You can go, nope, nope. Why? The scripture say this. The scripture says that. Satan will put temptation in your head. He'll put doubts in your head, fears in your head. All these things that are not becoming of a Christian. But if your heart is filled with God's word, it will be your shield, right? The full armor of God and your sword against the devil and his little tricks. And so when he comes along, you can chase him off. You can resist and he'll flee. And folks say, well, why is it I feel like in our society the devil's running wild? Because no one's resisted. That's why they went along with the ride. And you can get anybody to do anything nowadays if you build on Facebook or a meme or have something clever with it. But if you actually read what God says in his scripture and resist, he shall flee. Okay. People do not live by bread alone. You must worship the Lord your God, serve only him, and you must not test the Lord your God. Three times Jesus quoted from the book of Deuteronomy, the Jewish law, and strike one, strike two, strike three, and old Satan was out. But he came back. And here's the deal about that, folks, is the devil can come along, hit you up, and you chase him off. Give him a little bit of time. He'll come back around, try something else. And if he does, you just keep by the same playbook. You stay strong in your faith, in your prayer life, in your Bible reading. And when he comes along, tells his little lies and temptations, you tell him how it is, resist, and he'll take off running with that little tail tucked in between his legs. But if you start discussing with it, thinking about it, pondering it, he'll twist your head around and get you doing things you would not have done otherwise. Resist the devil, and he shall flee. But draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Thanks be to God. Amen. All right. That is